Our gospel lesson this morning is from Luke's gospel, the very end of Luke's gospel, chapter 24, verses 44 to 53. Then Jesus said to them, the disciples, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high." Then Jesus led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple praising God. We thank God. The word of the Lord for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Let us pray together. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for this time and this day where we can read scripture and study it and ask questions about it and learn from it. We pray, O God, that our ponderings, our questions, our conclusions will all bring glory to your holy name. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I want to start by telling you a little story. Almost 20 years ago, I was at a funeral in Wausau. Now, I haven't been to Wausau very often in my life, and I was there for a funeral, so I didn't actually go around and see the town or anything. I just went to the church. And something really struck me in this church. Now, it was a very conservative church theologically, and I wondered what the service would be like and everything, but that I didn't really notice that. That's what I was expecting to notice, but that's not what I noticed, because behind the altar, instead of a cross, was this large mosaic of Jesus ascending. I've looked and looked for a picture. I couldn't find one, because I was sure I'd taken one, and then I looked through all the churches in Wausau and couldn't find it there either. But what was so beautiful about it was that it looked like life. It looked like new life, like the beauty and wonder that we have of living life with Christ. There were a few gold flecks, but I wouldn't call it fancy. Oh, do we have our ascension picture? I chose this picture because it was the closest I could find. So you see the rays coming down from the sun? This is a painting, of course, by John Singleton Copley, early American painter. And that's the feeling it gave me. Jesus was moving. He wasn't standing. He was moving. It was so beautiful, and I kept thinking to myself, how can I wear this around my neck as a symbol of my faith? How can I wear this around my neck? Because this mosaic truly expressed the glory of God in a way that I had never, ever seen before. And I know you guys know I like art and music and dance and theater and all that stuff, but this mosaic just did something to me. So maybe it was Jesus talking to me. I don't know. But this painting here shows the glory and wonder and mystery of ascension very much in the same way that mosaic did. It changed me. And it made me feel like if I can share just a little bit of that when I preach, because I was preaching every Sunday at the time. Wow. Whatever that feeling is, if I could capture that with words. Well, of course, it's not possible truly to capture it, the whole feeling with words. But since then, I have really wondered about ascension, about these little passages at the end of Luke and at the beginning of Acts. What did it look like? What was the experience like for the disciples that were present? Is it a literal story? Did this really happen, or is it metaphorical? And if it's one or the other, does it matter? Does it matter? Do we all have to believe the same thing? So I studied it, you know, this 20 years ago, and I compared the end of Luke with the beginning of Acts. You know about Luke and Acts, right? That they're both written by Luke? Okay. So we have this ascension reading we had today, and then we have Acts beginning with this, and giving it a little more detail, unpacking it a little bit more. So you can take your Bibles at home and open them up this afternoon and read the beginning of Acts if you want to know exactly what that says. But I chose to do the Luke passage because I believe that it gives us an idea of forward motion in our faith lives. An idea of forward motion in our faith lives. Now, I wondered, not being originally United Methodist myself, I thought, gee, I wonder what ascension meant to those Wesley brothers. So I did a little research. I found this awesome article about John and Charles Wesley. John Wesley included Ascension Day in all his writings in one of three non-Sunday observances that he considered holy. So Good Friday, Christmas, and Ascension. Those were his three biggies that weren't on Sundays, which I thought was pretty important. And when he wrote his articles of the church, he mentions Ascension. So Ascension's important to John Wesley and Methodism. Now his brother Charles wrote at least 10 Ascension hymns, 10. He even published 7 of them in a special booklet called Hymns for Ascension Day, and then 3 or 4 others in other publications. We even have one in our hymnal, number 312. So if you want to look at that later, not now, please. So a little side note too. Ascension is 40 days after Easter, so it always falls on what day of the week? A Thursday. It's always on a Thursday, but many churches celebrate it on the Sunday after. And since it was so important to John and Charles Wesley, I thought we could celebrate it today as well. So let's look at it. What happens, where it happens in Luke, what's going on? So this is the last chapter of Luke, and we have the resurrection and then the walk to Emmaus all on this same day. All on the same day, and then we have what we read today, all on Easter Sunday. Wow, that's a lot. And what did Jesus teach them in Emmaus? Their eyes were opened with the breaking of bread, right? And then what is revealed to them in today's passage? It's revealed that he gives them understanding of the scriptures. And he tells them that they are sent and that the Holy Spirit is coming. And don't go anywhere until I've given you that Holy Spirit, till that Spirit has come upon you. And then in the reading, they go to Bethany. Now, Bethany is just like a 2-mile walk outside Jerusalem, outside those main gates where Jesus went in on Palm Sunday. It's a little tiny hole in the wall. It's a pretty small place. But Jesus and the disciples then went to Bethany. Remember Mary, Martha, Lazarus? That's where they lived, right outside Jerusalem in the little town of Bethany. And it seems like they've just been there before the crucifixion, remember? They were in Bethany praying. They were in Bethany getting ready. Jesus kept telling them, I'm going to suffer and die, and they didn't believe him. But this time, they know that those things he said were true, and that right now, when he ascends into heaven, this is what they think is their final goodbye. They're going to say goodbye to Jesus. They're so surprised to see him at Emmaus. Then he continues with them to Bethany, and it's like this great gift after they've found the empty tomb, after they have walked with him and not recognized him, to recognize him, to be taught by him. Imagine everything that they are feeling. I can't even imagine it, can you? So in Luke's gospel, it all happens on one day. In Acts, it says that the ascension of Jesus happens 40 days later. So we've got a little discrepancy here, and some scholars try and figure it out, but I don't think that's what's important. I think what's important is that we have these post-resurrection appearances. Some, in all the other gospels, we have them. Some are are days after Jesus is crucified, some are months, and some are even years after the resurrection, like Paul's interaction with Jesus. So throughout history, many encounters of Jesus have been recorded. Have you ever heard of people meeting Jesus? Yeah. Even now, people meet Jesus. And we have encounters with the living Christ even now. Some people have told us about this. Are you familiar with the author Anne Lamott? Anne Lamott is a prolific Christian writer. She came from kind of a rough background. She was steeped in drug addiction and all kinds of things that were very destructive to her. And in her book, Traveling Mercies, she talks about how she was at the very bottom. You know, when people reach rock bottom, that's where she was. She was in a room by herself, completely out of it, thinking she was going to die, and probably wishing she was going to die. She was done. She was just done. She saw no way out. And all of a sudden, she had taken a little nap, and when she awoke, she sensed a presence in the corner of her room. A presence. And what she felt from this presence was Jesus. That he was there to encourage her, that he was there to show her compassion, that he was there to give her love and acceptance, and that she had a lot more for her life than where she was right now. Forward motion. She was moving into a new kind of life. So when people have these encounters with Jesus, what happens? I think what happens is that we are changed. When I saw that mosaic, I was changed. When Anne Lamott felt the presence of Jesus in the corner of her room where she was ready to die, she was changed. And then that makes me wonder, what must it have been like for those disciples on Ascension Day? What had they been through in the last week? Think about that. From Palm Sunday to the Last Supper, to prayers in the Garden of Gethsemane, to seeing Jesus be crucified, to finding the empty tomb, they must have been reeling. I can't even imagine a heart holding that much emotion. Then they found the empty tomb. They met him on the road to Emmaus. He gives them understanding, and he blesses them, and he is gone. Their minds and hearts and faith must have grown exponentially during this time. Their emotions must have been very intense and all over the place, trying to make sense out of everything. And I think that the mystery that they had all been living for the last 3 years, walking with Jesus, trying to figure things out, trying to understand what is ununderstandable completely, I think that all that came back to them and they said, oh my gosh, there's more mystery. There's more to this than I even knew. One commentator I read said something that really stuck with me. that Jesus' ascension is both an ending and a beginning. It's both an ending and a beginning. On the surface, it's an ending. The last time they will see the Jesus that they know and love and walk with him doing his ministry, because he's gone on to the heavenly realm. But the beginning, the disciples tell us, and Jesus told the disciples, is about where they went and what they did. They stayed there, they waited for the Holy Spirit to come. And then when the Holy Spirit came to them, what did they do? They went on and did Jesus' work and spread the news of the gospel, the good news of the gospel. This was a beginning of a new life for them. They went from being disciples to being apostles. Just like for Anne Lamott, she had a new life after that encounter with Jesus. A new kind of life. What is that for us? Have we ever had that experience of having a new life instilled in our hearts that helps us to move forward in our faith and to do the work that God has placed before us? In the 4th and 5th centuries, I know that's a while ago, but in the 4th and 5th centuries, one of my favorite theologians, Augustine, one of the big church fathers, preached a sermon for the Lord's ascension, and this is a quote from it. "Today our Lord Jesus Christ ascended into heaven. Let our hearts ascend with him. Listen to the words of the apostle. If you have risen with Christ, set your hearts on the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Seek the things that are above, not the things that are here on earth. For just as Jesus remained with us even after his ascension, so we too are already in heaven with him, even though what is promised us has not yet been fulfilled in our bodies." We are already in heaven with him, even though we have not gone to heaven. Can we imagine that? That there is a way for our beings, our essence, if we set our hearts and minds on the things of Christ, to live in that ascension life, even as we live in these bodies on earth. So I entitled this Ascension Living, and I want to say a few things about what I think ascension living might look like. Walking with the living Christ in our lives every day. Worshiping with our very lives, as the disciples did, not just when we come in this building. Being able to imagine the glory of heaven as our next home. Imagine, I mean, we can't paint that, can we? Working with the living Christ through the church, that the glory of heaven and life abundant are made known to others, that we invite others to live in this glory. And then surrendering our souls to worship and letting our hearts ascend with Christ in the here and now. I love that word, surrender. Surrendering our hearts and minds to Christ in the here and now. We have to allow ourselves to enter into the mystery, to be comfortable with the unknown and not having all the answers, but trusting and believing in God enough that we're okay not knowing, that we say, oh my gosh, this is what I was made for. This is what my created self was put on earth to do, to live and love and trust in God. So I'm asking you this week to think about what ascension means for you, what ascension living looks like for you, and decide in a really concrete way how you will live it. To me, an ascension is an event to honor, yes, an experience, a way to live. And when we come face to face with the glory of God, as this painting tries to portray, I wonder how we can keep from singing, as the choir shared with us. Amen.